What's up and welcome to Ask Father Josh, the podcast where I get to listen to your questions, pray with them, and hopefully respond in such a way that is good for you to become a saint in your walk toward eternity. You hit me up with your own questions, comments, and critiques at www.ascensionpress.com/askfatherjosh. I will then respond to them at some point in my walk toward eternity. This is going to be the last show for the season, and I'm super excited to once again have my buddy Deacon Michael Parker as my guest co-host for the season. It's been such a good thing for us to do this together, man.
Dude, it has been awesome, man. I love it, man. Doing ministry, doing our work together.
Yeah, man.
We making things happen.
Batman and Robin.
Batman and Robin.
Who's Batman?
I'm gonna go ahead and say, even though I like him, you know.
No, man. You're bigger than me. You're bigger than me, bro. Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. You know. Yeah. Robin wasn't bigger than Batman.
This is true.
It's all good, man.
So we were superheroes. So Batman and Robin for DC. Who would we be in Marvel?
Ooh.
Who would we be in Marvel?
Man, that's a good one. Why do I feel like I would be Iron Man?
Okay. All right.
Who would you be? Don't be predictable.
I was going to say Black Panther.
I knew you was going to say it.
Even though I'm light-skinned.
Because I knew you was going to go there. I got you.
And I was thinking, if I'm Black Panther, you're that dude that...
Oh, yeah.
What's his name?
Oh, yeah, with the mohawk.
Yeah.
Kill now. Whatever you say. Dude.
That is funny. So if I wasn't Black Panther, I would be, let's see. Daredevil was Catholic.
He was.
He went to confession, so I appreciate that about Daredevil.
Mm-hmm.
Nightcrawler was also Catholic. He was a monk at one point.
I didn't know that.
From X-Men. Yeah, quite a few superheroes were written as Catholics. And
must be a Marvel thing. So Stan Lee?
Stan Lee's Jewish, I think.
Oh, well, look at that.
I think he was Jewish, but he definitely wrote a lot of Catholic characters in his stuff. The Hulk was also Catholic at one point. That's pretty cool. But I think I would probably, I love Black Panther. I love Wolverine. I mean, I like the villains too. Like, I love Magneto. Magneto's my dude.
Magneto was pretty
His
scary.
Powers are so crazy. Professor X, because I like to have a team around me.
Green Goblin. Well, hold up. Is that Ooh. DC? That's Spider-Man? Spider-Man is Marvel.
Yes. Green Goblin. Green Goblin, he is Marvel. Dude. Yeah.
Yeah, he was real. Yeah.
That's a weird one, yeah.
Well, Green Goblin?
He was a murderer.
Was he? Whoops. See, that's why I don't watch Marvel. Y'all. See, I don't know what I'm talking about. I'll stay with DC. How about that?
DC, I appreciate the Batman movies. I think we've articulated that the Batman movies in general are good.
Dude, I'm all
Batman. I don't think DC outside of Batman has ever released a good movie.
I mean, I'm gonna go ahead and just say I just think that The Dark Knight is still one of the best.
Agree. Yeah. No, totally agree. But outside of Batman, who you got? Flash was terrible.
Wonder Woman, they tried.
The first one was okay. The second one was terrible.
They tried with Wonder Woman. So,
Aquaman, the first one was delightful.
And watch this, Batman vs. Superman, letdown.
Huge letdown. I don't know what they were doing, but it was just,
It didn't work. It didn't work out for me, man. So
disappointing. But yeah, Batman has consistently come through with good movies.
Yeah, man.
But outside of Batman, I just think DC. But Marvel lately has dropped the ball, too. Marvel has not had a good movie since Black Panther 2.
I think they're oversaturated now, man. They came out with too many movies.
Yeah, I know. It's just a mess.
Oh, well.
Jesus is still my God.
Amen.
Not Marvel or DC.
Amen.
So today we're going to be talking about not Marvel or DC, but we're going to be talking about what do you do if your spouse does not want to go to Mass or practice the faith? Mm. But before we get into that question, which I think a lot of people can relate to, we want to hear a glory story from you, Deacon Michael.
You got it. So the glory story for me, again, one of the best things that I get to do. I am a romantic, and I just love this part of the ministry. With me and being asked to be officiant for weddings, more than likely what would happen is that priests would delegate deacons to do marriages or to officiate marriages that do not require a mass. And usually they don't really have masses when it's an interfaith marriage. But what I notice is with the past few weddings that I've done, and when the couples come in to me, and as far as they're learning more about the faith, they have some, again, preconceived notions of what the faith is about, they start to see some vibrancy, and they start to see a little more fruit from it. They start to see truth whenever we have these sit downs and we start talking about the Catholic faith. So the glory story is that one wedding that I did recently, I remember the groom who was actually, his parents were pastors of a non-denominational church. And I remember him saying towards the end of the formation, right before the wedding, in our last meeting, he said, you know, you really made this process way better than what I expected it to be. He thought that he was going to be combated on, that he was going to be accepted as a brother. And because of that, I think, you know, praise God, we'll see where the Lord does what only he can do. So, glory.
Yeah, so seeds were definitely planted, it sounds like.
Amen, brother. Amen. So,
again, marriage prep is a great place for evangelization. And so, for all of our clergy who listen, this is your opportunity. People are coming to you for baptism seminars, for marriage preps, for funerals. Ash Wednesday, Christmas, and Easter are our biggest opportunities to encounter people who are not disciples of Jesus and invite them to a deeper relationship with the Lord and the sacramental life of the church.
Amen.
And now let's jump into our question. What do you do if your spouse does not want to go to Mass or practice the faith? Do you want me to start or do you want to start?
Oh, man. What do you know?
What do I know about this?
Well there are
before I was a priest, I did date, and I did have a few girlfriends who did not go to church. Mm-hmm. But so I'll say a few things. Number one is recognize what is your job and what is not your job. Only God can accomplish getting our spouses Amen. To grow in the faith and to Mass. All we can do is a few things. One, lead by example, be a witness. John Paul II, I think his dad is a great witness. His dad and his mom were both very faithful, but his father was faithful to prayer in good times and bad, in sickness and in health. When his children died, his dad never stopped praying. When his wife died, his dad never stopped praying. His dad, when they lived in poverty, his dad never stopped praying. His dad never missed Sunday Mass. He never missed daily prayer. And so John Paul saw this every day. He saw his father as a witness of prayer and worship. And so when John Paul's father passed away and he was really struggling with his faith, he remembered dad never stopped praying and dad never stopped going to Mass. And so that's what inspired him to go to church. And by going to church, he met a community of people who discipled him, who accompanied him in his walk with the Lord. And so I think the very first thing that we can do is focus on what's my relationship with the Lord like, and am I being a witness? Because a witness can inspire the spouse and plant seeds, whether we see the fruit of those seeds being planted or not. We can always ask intercessors to pray for us. Again, like reach out to cloistered convents. Ask those monks, those friars, those nuns to pray for us and for our spouses. Mm-hmm. We can also do it like a lot of missionary organizations do. So like what some missionary apostles do is, especially on a college campus, they might ask the question, who's the most popular person on the college campus? Mm-hmm. And whoever that person is, whoever the most influential person is, that's the person we're going to reach out to get to know, and we're going to disciple that person. And if we get that person, then with that person comes the whole town, right? When I got to Santa Mar, well, gosh, it was so long ago. It was 2017. That's 6 years ago now.
Yeah, man.
About 7 years. By the time this airs, it'll be 7 years ago. I was, wow, that's crazy. That's crazy. That 7 years ago I was there. And when I got there, I called my friend Stephanie up, and I said, Stephanie, who do I need to know in your town? She's from that town. And she told me someone's name, and I reached out to that person and began to accompany that person in discipleship and in small group Bible studies. And when this person, who was very influential in the town, did the Bible studies, everybody began to do Bible studies. And so one thing that spouses can do whenever they're seeing, okay, my husband or my wife's not going to church, is not living the faith, instead of nagging them to live the faith, like be a witness, always invite them, like be prayerful, have intercessors, but reach out, find out who their friends are, and disciple their friend's spouse.
Mm-hmm.
If their friend's spouse becomes a disciple, then that friend might end up being a disciple. If that friend becomes a disciple, then that friend can be the disciple maker for your spouse, your husband, and your wife. And the final thing I'd encourage you to do is the invitation.
Ooh.
Never stop inviting them. Right? Just like, don't nag, but my friend Brandy, she kept inviting me to a Catholic conference, and I kept saying no, because I didn't want to go. But she never stopped the invitation. She didn't nag me. She just said, hey, I'm going. You want to come? So Asher's boss, do you want to come to Mass? Or when you're coming home from Mass, if you want to have dinner or lunch or brunch or whatever it is, just bring up, oh man, so not very nationally, like it was so beautiful. Father Solomon said this, or in our Bible study, we learned this, or in our ministry to the poor, we did that, and find different ways to invite them to the faith. Don't always start with Mass. Like sometimes it's start with a Bible study, or start with a soup kitchen, or start with a men's club or a women's club or something else, like a retreat, a conference, something, a fishing trip, whatever, because meet them where they're at.
Right.
And then trust the process that eventually different people will be inspired by the Spirit to come into their life and to walk with them. But we can't do anything. All we could do is try to be saints and pray and fast and make opportunities available. But the rest is up to God. It's God's grace.
Amen. Amen. You're hitting like on all the same targets for me, man. That's what came up in prayer, because I will start with this, y'all. As far as if your spouse does not want to go to Mass, or if they're not practicing the faith, I will acknowledge for a fact, I know that this is a hard topic, and it's sometimes very hard to swallow, because you have these dreams and these aspirations where you're thinking like we will receive the Holy Eucharist together, where our children will be raised in the Catholic faith. And then you start getting these questions that start popping up, and you start thinking, is this going to happen with the person that I love?
Mm-hmm.
So with these constant things popping up in your head, it does get to a point to where you start just really questioning, and I mean, start to even think that, you know, is this exactly what I wanted in the fruits of marriage? So I know for a fact that was one of my big things too, because even my wife now, and we talked about the story quite a few times, that whenever she was growing up, she was taught that the Catholic faith was evil. And I remember just hearing her story in a testimony, just saying, I don't understand how this man that who I'm falling in love with is evil and doing evil things. And one of the things that I would do, especially while we were dating, and I would bring her to Mass, and I'm trying to like sell the faith to her. And in my mindset too, it's like, y'all, it's very strange for someone to walk into a Catholic church and to a Mass and see the things that we do, and for us to just think that they should get it right off the bat. It is not.
Don't work that way.
It does not work that way at all.
Even like football. Like,
yes, exactly.
I played basketball growing up. Mm-hmm. I didn't play football. And so I didn't understand as a kid the big hype around football. I was like, this is, because no one ever explained it to me. Right. I'd see it on TV. I didn't know what was happening. I didn't know what the first down was, you know, all this stuff. I was like, I don't get it. And finally, someone sat me down and told me, all right, this is what this is, and this is what that is. And once I understood the game, I enjoyed watching the game.
Right.
But prior to understanding what was happening, I was like, I don't get why everybody's being beat. Like, basketball was so much more fun to me. But now I love watching football games because it makes sense now.
Mm-hmm. No, so I mean, it's – and just that is the way that – I mean, we would hope that we can explain these things to our spouse to help them understand why it is the way that we worship this way, why is the Mass the highest form of prayer that we can do. But – that, again, it just, like you said, Father, it may be too much. It just may be too much. So primarily what I see that works, it's like when it comes across to this, and again, it could be different for everyone, but start with that personal relationship with Jesus, right? Testimony. Like for someone to be able to hear how the Lord is working in your life, and people hear that, and they can hear your passion, hear your relationship, hear how much you love the Lord, and I mean, that's hard not to want to be a part of it, to see what it is that you're doing in order to foster that relationship. And when that part happens, that's when you can start explaining the faith. So a big part about it is sometimes when we bring our spouses, and I've noticed this too, where we want spouses, we're of different faiths, or they're not practicing the Catholic faith. And if you don't know about your faith, you can't teach them anything.
Come
so
on.
You have to honestly know what your faith is about. Now, our church is 2,000 years old. You're not going to know everything, but we have so much history within our church, so many reasons on why we do the things that we do. I mean, we have the solemnities, the feast days, the obligation for us to celebrate the Sabbath. I mean, these are things that they need to know about on why do we do the things that we do. And really prayed on this in the mindset of preparing others to come to know the Lord, especially through our church, we don't have to be afraid to show our faith. So be inclined to show them that you pray the rosary. Be inclined to make the sign of the cross in front of them so they can see that. Yeah. That's all forms of evangelization for them to pick these things up. And don't be scared to invite them to different parts of the community or different forms of prayer, especially prayer in front of the Holy Eucharist and adoration. I have seen breakthroughs happen to where couples will come and they pray in front of the Blessed Sacrament, whether it's in praise and worship, whether it's in benediction. And literally at that point, that's when things are starting to click, because when you're in the presence of God, you're receiving so much grace. And I mean, St. Alphonsus, he says that. He says that one of the holiest things that we can do outside of the holy sacrifice of the Mass is spend a quarter of an hour of a day with our Lord in adoration. So like literally doing that to bring them to that point of being present, to be in an adoration chapel, to just sit and pray together, to be in silence, to be with each other, to read and study or do these things together. These are the ways in order for your spouse to come to even start having a little hint of grace, for them to start coming or discerning if they're called to be a part of that church. So,
yeah, that makes total sense. So we can do these things, but at the end of the day, it's God's grace.
Yes, and that I reinforce that too, because I will say, y'all, again, one of my things was that I was trying to force the faith upon my wife. And it's so funny, because we know that the Lord is a gentleman. He's a gentleman. He does not force.
Nice.
And I remember when I was actually expressing this to another, to a sister in Christ on something that I was just hoping that my wife would even just be open to learning about the faith. And I remember the Lord really used her at that point, and she said, "Michael, have you ever thought about it that it's not your job? It's not your job, that maybe you just need to get out of the way." As soon as I was able to let go, surrender to the Lord, that's when the fruit started coming about, my wife actually thinking about discerning the faith. And thanks be to God for her, that beloved sister in Christ had told me that. I needed to hear it at that time, because now, I mean, we can fellowship together, and that's,
look at that.
That's us, man. Won't he do it?
Won't he will. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about our saint for the day who had a difficult marriage.
Hi, my name is Father Mike Schmitz. I wanted to let you know about an exciting announcement that could revolutionize the way you listen to the Bible in a year and the Catechism in a year. Ascension has released a new Bible and Catechism app called the Ascension app. No, here's what you get. In this app, you get the entire text of the Great Adventure Bible. Just incredible. You also get the entire text of the Catechism of the Catholic Church, as long with the Catechism in Your podcast and the Bible in Your podcast, and transcripts for each episode. If you're like, "I'm tired of listening to that guy, I just want to read it," there's complete transcripts from each and every episode. One thing that makes this app incredibly unique is that it includes special features that make connections between the Bible and the Catechism so crystal clear through color-coded references and all these links. And the hyperlinks are amazing. I tried it out, and I'm like, oh my gosh, it kind of has changed the way I read through the Catechism, kind of changed the way I read through the Bible. These features will help you navigate the Bible and Catechism even more seamlessly, so you can get more out of your experience. Also, the app provides almost 1,000 answers to Bible questions. The people who listen to the Bible in a year, they wrote in with their questions. Almost 1,000 answers. And those answers come in the form of audio clips, video clips, as well as resources excerpted from some of Ascension's published works. If you want to download this app for free, super simple. Just go to the App Store and search for Ascension app. I am telling you, if learning about the Bible and the Catechism is important to you, then this app will change your life.
And we are back. Again, you can hit us up with your own questions, comments, critiques at www.ascensionpress.com/askfatherjosh. Our saint for today is a blessed member of the body of Christ, Blessed Elizabeth Lisieux. She was a French woman, married, and in her marriage, her husband, he hated the faith. They're both baptized Catholics, but he loved her, did not love her relationship with Jesus Christ. When they got married, they both were very mediocre. They were nominal Catholics, and she, years into the marriage, had a deeper conversion, began to pray, began to go to Mass, began to speak about the faith. He wanted nothing to do with it. And so what did she do? Well, she kept loving her husband, and she kept dating her husband and communicating with her husband and being a great wife to her husband. And she also prayed for his conversion. And she wrote in a journal, a diary, about how much she loved God and how much she loved him. She eventually died, and when she died, he was heartbroken. She was the love of his life. And he found her journal and found these entries that she had written for years about her prayers for him and her love for God. And he was so upset about her being bamboozled by the Catholic Church that he said, I'm going to prove the Catholic Church to be wrong. And so he traveled to Lourdes to disprove the miraculous apparition of Our Lady and the water and the story of Bernadette. And when he went there, he had a huge conversion.
Come on, man.
And he became a believer. And then he became a Catholic priest, a Dominican friar priest, and he traveled the world preaching about his wife's fidelity to prayer for him and the power of intercessory prayer. Mm-hmm. And so she never saw the fruit of her prayer in her lifetime. And so we too should not look to see the visible fruit. We do it because we're supposed to do it. We fast, we pray, we love, Amen. We witness because we're supposed to do it. We don't do it to see the fruit in our spouses' lives or in the lives of our children or anybody else. We just do it because it's the right thing to do. But as a saint, she certainly has been able to see the fruit of her husband's ministry and the work that he ended up doing for the Catholic Church and for Jesus Christ. So this was the last show for the season. But before we wrap up and acknowledge that we'll be back in the fall, we're going to take a summer break. Right. I want to invite Blessed Elizabeth Lisieux to
pray for us.
And I want to thank Deacon Michael Parker for
coming
to me in the show this season. It's been
fun. Man.
It's been good, dog.
Yes.
All right. Well, I guess I'll see you in a few weeks at the Eucharistic Congress.
That's right. See you then, bro.
Deuces.